old. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. Y'all like my After Dark voice? That Corona said After Dark. I'm working on my radio, my smooth. Yeah. Maybe I can get more viewers and subscribers with my nice sexy instead of my hey, y'all know how I do. But I am so excited because this lady we have here tonight, if you guys cannot already tell, she resonates the sexy. And so that's what, when I heard her coming in, and she had this very like smooth, raspy, yet feminine, sexy voice, that was like, damn, I need it. She about to steal my After Dark. I need to get on my Dr. O After Dark. Well, she about to do my voiceovers. Y'all, if it ain't on her resume, we about to get on into this resume. But voiceovers is added. That sexy After Dark. I don't know if y'all gonna be thinking about therapy and mental health if y'all hear that. Y'all might think that the O stands for something else, which I have had coming soon. Sexologist, sex psychology, Dr. O. The O stands for...
Oh boy.
OnlyFans. Find us on OnlyFans. Nah. Let's get into it for real.
Let's get in.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much for joining me on tonight. And I know that smile because you like,
yeah.
I'm going to get it right. Yeah. Maybe.
She's going to get it.
For Lydia. Lady. lady. For Lydia. I am so excited. Yeah. I know I did.
You got it.
Why are you acting brand new? Like I be saying your name wrong or something.
No, never have you ever. Never have you
ever. Never have I ever.
Never have you ever. No, you said it right. Yeah.
I mean, it's easy syllables. Who could get that wrong?
That's what I've thought my whole life, but you'd be surprised because everyone has gotten it wrong. Not everyone, but a lot of people.
Oh, I mean, if you see you, I mean, just, you know, your alphabets.
That's what I, yeah. But even teachers who teach alphabets, you know, they've also gotten it wrong. So that's the thing. I think like anyone who's had like an offbeat name. You know,
but like for me, like I said, it really reminds me of the Sound of Music. Yes, oh, the Sound of Music.
I love the Sound of Music.
A deer, a female deer, a drop of golden sun.
Let's not. We're going down the rabbit hole. I love that movie.
Lydia, da, 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 da. So I'm like, that's all I kept on saying, you know, and then I gotta just hit them notes, you know.
Yes.
Y'all know Dr. O always got either a song or a dance for you, so we gonna come right in it. But I'm not the artist here.
Baby, different. But okay.
Y'all, New York and ATL native, and we'll get into it because I don't know how you're native from both. But
okay,
we'll get into it.
Okay.
Mother of seven. Let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Seven.
Yes.
We gonna get into that.
Okay.
Too, because we like seven where?
Okay.
One of six.
Yes.
Oldest.
Female.
From oldest female.
Yes.
From both parents.
Yes.
Now, y'all forgive me a little bit because, you know, I know that I like to know my guests. Mm-hmm. And I do. I don't want to make sure, I want to make sure I don't miss anything. So y'all gonna see me with these cards because we have certified medical assistants, mm-hmm. AHA CPR instructor. Oh no, that's Lamaze. That, but we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that.
Was Lamaze.
Yeah.
So who, yeah. You can do that.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the he and a hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Here in a little, well, I don't know, a little bit, maybe, kind of, sort of. Surprise. Educator. Mm-hmm. Community organizer. Y'all go out there and vote.
Yes.
Who you vote for, I ain't gonna tell you.
Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm not sure what I'm running for yet, though. So we'll, whatever.
I mean, I was talking about the presidential. Yeah, I don't know if they don't. Who? I'm sorry to all of us in our generation. Now, this is probably like the first year where. Well, I ain't even gonna say that because I'm gonna encourage you to go out and vote.
Vote, that's it.
Go out and vote. It doesn't matter. Well, we just gonna stop right there. Because vote your vote matters, and it vote and it matters who you vote for. Even if both of our candidates are both of our candidates.
Are both of our candidates.
Are both of our candidates. Go with, vote for the one who resonates with you the most.
Tea on that.
Or independent.
I like
maybe if enough of us actually stood together and voted on somebody that was like an independent, then that might actually happen in our lifetime. See, the problem is that it's either Democrat or Republic, and nobody never votes for independent. Very few. But maybe when you don't want to vote Democrat, because of your choices, and you don't want to vote Republican, because of your choices,
you could vote.
Fill in Dr. O.
Yes. Well,
in the ballot.
The good thing about that, Dr. O, is that all power actually truly does lie with the people. So, you know, with me being a community organizer and you push the go vote thing and, you know, all of that, there's been some years that I didn't vote. I don't have a problem saying that. You can go check my records if you want, if you know my government, whatever, go check my records. But there's some years I didn't vote and some years that I did. And if I don't feel like I resonate, then I won't. But, you know, also the Democratic Party and the Republican Party is pretty much the same party. It's not really a different party. There is... just the same, it's extremes, you know what I mean?
So we're going to pause on the bio right there.
Oh, what? Okay.
Because, no, we're going to get into it because it's just that. It is just that. Our history, if we know, if we truly, as African Americans, people of color, whomever, our history, we started out as Republicans. Then switched over and to the Democratic Party. But even in the beginning, it was more aligned with who aligned, not necessarily the title Democrat, Republic, Independent, but who aligns or who resonates more with what you want. Now, I'm gonna be honest. Some of y'all might hate me after this. I don't care. Some of y'all might unfollow me after this. Guess what? I don't care. It's okay. I'm healed, so I'm able to be okay with that. Come to Out of the Box, Out of Counseling, Coaching, and Consulting and get healed. You're healing as well. What I'm gonna say is, I'm not totally against Trump. Doesn't mean I'm voting for him, but doesn't also mean I haven't thought about it. See, Trump comes to politics from a business mind. He's been very, very, very successful in business and overcoming. So when approaching government, there are things that happened or transpired during his presidency that was beneficial and good for all Americans. I'm not gonna say it made America great, because the factor is when we add into there not only race, but then even the microaggressions and the discriminatory language that is used. When we're degrading women and you know, we got out there grabbing by the pussy and everything else.
He did say that.
He
did, yeah.
Then that takes away from your message. When you're not against or standing firm against things that are negative, whether it's police brutality or raiding the Capitol, when you're silent, then you're speaking in agreement. And so with his presidency, the negative is that he, even if he is not, he appeared and portrayed and was okay with the portrayal for his business success of being portrayed as a racist, or at least for the white community who felt now under his authority more bold to do discriminatory and racist acts.
Well, you know, Dr. O, what, while I do, I absolutely understand that part. Here's the other part that I understand, right? First of all, let's just say this. Donald Trump is hilarious. One of my favorite characters. Okay?
Absolutely.
Donald, if you're out there, one of my favorite characters. And I say that because he's a character, mm-hmm. right? All the world is a stage, right? That's a thing that we know from Shakespeare, right? And it is a very deep truth. All the world is a stage, and Donald Trump is also just one of the characters playing mm-hmm. a part. If we're talking about the U.S. and, you know, America and all of that, and, you know, the two-system party that we have here with the side party of the independent, I would encourage our people of America, citizens, whatever, to explore all of their options, you know, because we are, when you know, our people have said, you know, all power to the people, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's what that means. It's like all power really
to
lies
the,
in us.
People,
it's
yes.
you, and
not
they,
black
all
people,
the time,
or
it's
white
not about
people,
right.
Or Asian,
it's just
and
people.
Hispanic, it's us
so,
and the people.
The powers that be want us to believe that we're separate on all of these different things and all of these different issues, but we're really not. Mm-hmm. If we live on the same fucking rock together, which is Earth, and we do, you know, then we are all one fucking people. And we have to start thinking in terms of not about a party or a system, but about who is going to help usher in the new ideas that we need for a global community. And I don't mean a, like, you know, new NWO. I don't mean that type of, you know, world system, like New World Order, like,
yeah.
you know, Mark of the Beast type, you know. What's
but more
it?
Unified.
Yes, but a more unified, really just an understanding that nothing happens under God's sun without our somewhat allowance and participation.
Well, and that's
you understand?
What, yeah, no, I
and
do,
so,
because
like,
we are even given choice.
We've been given choice and we've been given free will. So with the whole party system and all of that in the U.S., like, it's some bullshit. We just gonna go there. It's some bullshit. Whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, if you run as either one, all you are doing is learning what the majority of the people right now are looking to be inspired by or affected by. And those are the things that you are going to push as your running points.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want those votes. So votes, I'm sorry. And so, and for Donald Trump, if you know how to sensationalize people, and we as a population can become sensationalized very easily, then it's very easy to control that narrative.
Mm-hmm,
what sensationalizes people? Well, making me feel superior than you.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm sensationalized. You know, now there's a disparity. Now there's an injustice. Now there's a thing to fight about. You know, but really at the end of the day, fuck all that. We don't have food. Everybody's not fucking eating. That's an injustice. While we talking about storming a Capitol or anything like that, to talk about what? Are we talking about the kids that are not eating, that go to school and can't focus? I'm a teacher. What are we talking about here?
Most are not.
Right. They can't focus because they're not eating. They can't eat because their parents don't have enough wherewithal to understand what they need to do to consistently provide food and shit for them. Why are they not able to do that? Because there's a government and a whole society is telling you there's some other shit that's important and it's not your family.
Because that's your problem.
Yeah.
That is, and by yours, we look at through the history, since they let us free, it has been systematic things put into the system that says you're still beneath us. Food stamps, government assistance, all of that being created to say that you still need us and you're less than. Mm. So, if your child is struggling, your child can't have food, oh, that's a, and let's call it what it is. We're not even gonna say BIPOC minority because it's not with all in all of the minorities.
You know, I just learned what BIPOC was. We'll go there in a minute. Please continue.
It's not, it does not affect everyone. It is a Black, specifically a Black American problem. And a lower income white folks problem, who is considered as things like trailer park trash and everything else. When you fit within that low income bracket, that is away from the trust funds and the educated and the
But I tell you, a problem for the Black community, for the African American community, for the indigenous communities, for the people of color communities, is a problem and an injustice for all communities. And I promise you that. That is a truth. And if it was any other people, I would say the same.
Injustice for one of us is
injustice
for
all of us. Yes, a lot. I don't know whatever that person was who said that. Forgive me, but I know it was someone important, but it escaped me because I'm on fire.
Someone important.
Yes, but no, but it really that's true. That's truth, and I truly do mean that. So, you know, if I see a kid hungry. I don't care what color that kid is.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care what race that kid is. I'm gonna feed that kid. I'm gonna feed that, you know what I'm saying, human, that person. It doesn't matter. That's, you know, that's about humanity. You know what I mean? That's about understanding that, like, there's been many of societies that have bloomed, that have grown, that have become the top of the tier, you know, and they always say, like, you know, pride cometh before the fall with all of the great, you know, dynasties and people. And we got a hell of a lot of pride right now, you know, but
we do.
You know, if you just bring it back to the truth of the matter, if we really learn just how to work with people, you know what I mean? And together that shit is it goes.
I seen you stop and you pause and I happen to look over and I realize.
I got it.
Let's continue your thought.
So. That's how I feel about that. That's how I feel about that. And yes, and I could, you know, go deep into a lot of, you know, things about that, but why not, you know?
So I know we took a bit of pause in your bio there, and I think that was great. Okay. We really didn't get into half of the stuff, so we have to get you back here, but we want to have you again, not only as a community organizer, a program creator and director, a soul speaker.
Mm-hmm.
That really drew me, like a soul speaker. I would love to get into that more, but what I really want to get into, which we touched on earlier with the is your end of life.
Oh.
End of life doula.
Come on.
I know I'm familiar of a doula from birth.
Yeah.
I never even imagined or thought of
end of life.
Transitioning. If y'all want to have Lady Felidia back here, y'all like, subscribe, and share, because we definitely have to get you back. I do past life and future life regression.
Shut your mouth. You shut your wretched mouth, Doctor. No, I love, oh man.
So when I seen end of life doula, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more
about end of life doula. So, okay, I'm gonna tell you guys about end of life doula, and I'm gonna also tie in also the aspect of past life regressions to the end of this, okay? So, I decided a little while ago that I might wanna become an end of life doula. An end of life doula is someone who creates an experience for someone who is transitioning from the physical life back into the life and state of spirit life in which we came. And just as in when we are coming into the physical, there is a journey that we're taking, right? There's a labor, there's a whole process. Well, death is also a labor too, right? And death is one of, like, while birth, everyone, we get excited about births and everything, but y'all, death is like a beautiful process as well, and a beautiful thing. And there should be experiences and rituals around this. So if you think about it, if you haven't died in like a freak, quick, you know, accident or something like that, and you've been able to live, or however you go. Like my grandfather, in the process of me going through the training to become a certified end-of-life doula, my grandfather was transitioning, right, over. And he told me that he knew it was his time to go. And so I was like, all right, you know, and he was, you know, going on. And then, you know, he, you know, finally did. And we were able to create an experience around that. But he was on this earth for 82.9 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What else do I need to do here? You know, like, job well done. Let's have a celebration. You know what I'm saying? Let's really support who you are in life.
And how you want to transition.
Right. And that really build out that legacy. So with an end of life doula, what they really do is come in as a support, not just to the person who is transitioning, but to the entire family, really as a listening tool, as a go-between, you know, and as a person that really just honors what it is that you want to experience, you know, and that we wear many hats, you know. You might be the therapist one day, you know, you might be the shit talker also, you know, about Auntie Carol, who knows, you know what I'm saying, if that's what's needed to help whoever it is get over whatever, whatever it is, you know, that's what you are able, you know, to do. And so, you know, to bring it, you know, full circle, I am now a certified end of life doula, and I was able to, I was blessed enough to have my own grandfather be the my first actual
client, since I've gone through that process,
right? But my grandmother, which was his wife, was actually the person that introduced me to this.
Wow.
Do you understand? And she did this when I was about 17 years old.
Wow.
She called me out to the Dixie Hills of Atlanta, which is my father's side of the family's, you know, town here, right?
When so that explains the New York.
How can I be from
native.
New York and from Atlanta at the same damn time? And
listen,
that's how I can be.
I get it.
From it at the same damn time, because while I was born in Queens, New York, and grew up there, every summer we were down here in Atlanta in South Georgia visiting our family down here.
That's the same thing with Seattle and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. When y'all say, "Hi, y'all,"
and
my daddy is so excited of the family.
Yes, and so when anyone, you know, needs to taking care of, my grandmother called me out to help with this.
Okay,
and I told her this was not my life. I literally told her straight up, "Grandma, this is not for me. You know, I'm not doing this stuff. This, I got fancy stuff on my plate. This is not for me."
Oh, she fancy.
I got fancy stuff
fancy
on my plate,
high.
Grandma. But you know, she had a way of like calling me little girl.
Yeah.
And bringing me right back down to size. And so she introduced me, you know, to this, and I wouldn't know how this would grow in my life, but she did. And you know, so to bring it back full circle, when I was transitioning in life, I decided to have an end of life regression done because I was having so much indecision about or strife about a decision that I needed to make in life.
Okay.
And I needed to understand what were the factors that were affecting this lifetime that were karmic.
Got it.
Uh-huh. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, I know all y'all vibey people out there.
Y'all know,
right? So I had this done, and you know, during this process and then other revelations afterwards, what I understood was that this was something that I had done many lifetimes already.
Okay.
And it was something that was already in my DNA. And it was also in my soul family's DNA, which was my grandmother, which is that ancestral tie, you know, that that pulled me into the threads of what I needed to be connected to in life, community, service, end of life doula, love, compassion, you know, all of those things. And so, so here we are, full circle, and it has been a journey of self-discovery, but also a journey of just human discovery. And love and compassion, here we are.
So, being one who has lost both their mother and their father, I could definitely, especially because my mother was more unexpected, but definitely, my father was unexpected as well, but from there, maybe 2 weeks from the time that he got a diagnosis to the time that he passed, and 1 week from the time that he was with me to the time that he passed, but I can understand and see the benefit of possibly having someone there because I was there by myself and alone when he totally transitioned.
Right.
And that is something that I would not wish on anyone. My father did not pass away like we see in the movies of where, okay, we're all gathered around his bedside.
Yeah.
And no, my father was jerking and this and that, and I'm trying to hold him and, you know, and push me out of the bed. And I'm, you know, he did not take his last breath literally until I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, Dad, I know we didn't have best relationship because of some things that happened in my early childhood. But I know and I recognize that once these things happened in your life, how you became a better father and a better grandfather to my sister and I's children. And it's okay. It's okay. I love you. I forgive you. And it's okay. And when I said I forgive you was when he took his last breath. I didn't even recognize that, but the priest did, who was in there with me. But again, you know, up until that point, my dad was like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. It's okay. I understand. It's okay, baby. I wasn't necessarily ready, but he was ready. So I was so shocked when I seen him kind of more so like fighting it and everything. And so with that, I can understand the importance of possibly having an end-of-life doula there. It's not only helped me in that detrimental moment of processing through the transition, but even as we're getting, you know, we know that we're on the latter end of this. I'm 80 plus years old. We know it's coming. This is how I want to go and being able to have that support. So for those who want to know, how can they find you to find out more information about all of the things, including the end of life doula?
So on Instagram, they could contact me at sage_n_silver. You could email me at hawk, like the bird, innovations training at gmail.com. And that's my, you know, education company. And if you want to follow me like in the community and some of the work I'm doing there, you can follow me at New Era Atlanta as well on Instagram. And like there'll be some more, you know, places, Agricultures United. There's a bunch of stuff we got going on out here.
Y'all
That's
make
all.
Sure y'all like, follow
bunch of
my
stuff.
Girl. On
but
all
Sage and Silver, yeah, mainly
platform.
On all platforms. And
listen right down here at the bottom is that how they do this thing. And then they magically pop up. Thanks to my producers and editors. Follow her.
Yeah.
On all social media platforms.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And y'all make sure you follow, like, and subscribe to Dr. Olivia West on all platforms. And I will see you on the next episode.
Dr. O, After Dark.
She created my new jingle, y'all. Y'all just stay tuned.
So wait, before we go, I want to tell you about the DJ voice, right? So I recently took a class. Shout out to Chris Voss. If you guys don't know who Chris Voss is, Chris is amazing. He was a hostage negotiator for the FBI. Plug this shit in, Delano, I promise you. And he gives classes on negotiation techniques, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Voss. So I, one of the other things that I do is I work for Delta, love Delta. And while I was on a flight recently, I did one of his master classes, which was on the art of negotiation. And during the art of negotiation, one of the things that he talks about is the DJ voice.
That's not like me.
That's her natural voice.
Yeah, no,
that's Nikia's natural voice.
Yeah, you need to, you know how to change them different voices.
But what it does is when you, I don't even know I'm doing it like all the time, but what it does is it kind of brings people in.
And it calms them
down. And it calms them down. It brings them into the speed that you really want to communicate
Absolutely.
With them on. And so shout out to Chris Voss. I've been trying out his techniques all
right.
over the place.
All right, Chris.
All over the place, yes. But great stuff. Dr. O, thank you so much. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you too, as well. Until next time.
Till next time. We'll be back.